Hey guys, this is David. Quick disclaimer here. This episode was recorded prior to the results of the election, actually by a significant margin. We've been pretty behind on recording episodes, releasing episodes, thinking about episodes, and all the other episode-related things. So this episode was released a little bit late. So if you can go back in the time machine that is your minds to a time when you didn't know who won the election, or if you haven't heard who won the election yet, then why don't you just listen to this before you go on the internet and find out. Also, I'm talking about the American election for you Australian listeners. Thanks. Hello, and welcome to Helvetic, a podcast. I'm Joe.
And I'm not David, so I guess I'm Joe.
I'm David. Helvetic is a podcast where we discuss design and theology, or the intersection of faith and design, if Joe's doing the intro.
Yep. Yeah, it's something like that.
Joe, do we have any of that feedback?
So for anyone who's listening to the podcast, we had a problem where we weren't recording my channel. So we're kind of repeating ourselves and it's super duper awkward.
Especially for the people in chat.
Yeah. Sorry about
that.
Or
on the live feed.
Facebook people. Anyway, feedback. Yeah. We've had some great discussions on our Tech Reformation Slack channel. Hashtag Helvetic is where you can find us. So that's been really fun. And then... all the feedback on Facebook, it's pretty exciting to get to our first 10,000 likes on Facebook. Hypothetically, I mean, at one point it will get to that.
That would be exciting.
That would be so exciting. Not hinting at anything, but you guys should go like our Facebook page.
We don't have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
We have a group. You can join our group.
And like it.
But we would not expect too much from you. In terms of being nice to us, because we haven't been nice to you.
We want you to be twice as nice as we have. You know, just because we're not recording episodes doesn't mean you can't give us feedback.
we did want to apologize. This is a follow-up on the episodes that we haven't had. We wanted to apologize for not recording and also not being very... is communicative? No, that's...
Yeah, that's...
Communicating-y. Not not communicating that we're not having episodes. We have excuses for some of it. We've been traveling, both Joe and I, and then a lot of it has been laziness. So we are, I guess one of the things we're talking about, Joe and we want to open this up to the Slack community. Maybe we can talk about that this week on the Slack. It is a challenge to create these episodes, especially we kind of have high standards, even though we don't produce good quality stuff. We have very high standards. And what that means is I typically spend an hour and a half to 2 hours editing it. Joe has to go editing a single episode. Joe has to go through and create the notes for the episode. And then on top of that, I make an image each week, which I spend way more time doing than I probably should. But it's good practice.
Yeah. It's a fun challenge, but it's a... Yeah, sometimes those challenges can become overwhelming. You just really you turn that on yourself.
So I wasn't talking into my mic. So...
nice.
One of the things we're thinking about is what would it look like to maybe bring Helvetic into a different medium that is less time consuming, or to maybe mix and match, like have a new recorded audio episode of the podcast every other week, or maybe some of our episodes are really live and we release them as really live, and only one of our episodes is more of the type production value that
you've come to expect.
That I always try for. Anyway, we would love to discuss this on Slack. If you guys think that... Because Joe and I often talked about how, like, well, gee, this is a design podcast, and we're talking about visual things, and there is no visual element to this show, unless you happen to watch the live feed. So would a vlog be better? And the nice thing about a vlog is it's generally less expected that it'll be tightly edited. A live vlog kind of has a live feel to it. So anyway, we want to discuss this in the Slack or on our Facebook group. So I'll be putting up a post there to discuss, and we would love to hear your feedback. By the way, if you're not on our Slack, our Slack channel, Tech Reformation, the podcast, has graciously provided us a channel on their techreformation.slack.com. To become a part of that, you can go to Slack. slack.techreformation.com. See, the Slack channel is techreformation.slack.com because Slack is the master domain. But to become a part of it, you go to their website, and they've created a subdomain called called slack.techreformation.com.
So simple. A child could do it.
I do feel like techreformation.com/slack would have been clearer.
Yeah.
But they're not designers.
Yeah. Well, let it go this one time, guys. I mean, sure, thanks for all the free stuff, but...
Yeah. So anyway, all of that to say, get on there and let's talk about this. Let's see if we can figure out maybe a better way to make sure you guys are getting the sweet, sweet content. So make sure you guys are getting content and we're also not pulling our hair out.
Yeah. Some of us are running a little short on it.
Like me.
And we're talking about content.
I meant hair. All right. So, Joe, what is our topic-a-roni?
All right. So today we're talking about politics and so.
Well, I'm gone.
It was really, really good talking to you guys. No, actually, we're talking about the design of politics. So basically the thought that we'd had was that if we had to choose between one of the two exemplary candidates that are available for us right now, the two main party candidates, would we choose from Hillary Clinton or from Donald Trump, purely based on the design that we see coming out of their respective camps? Not just their website, but things like bumper stickers, yard signs, things like that. So
yeah, and actually I'd like to maybe not emphasize the websites because I feel like, and maybe our listeners can correct us, I feel like people don't frequently visit the candidates' websites.
You know, it's funny because I have been refuting you every time you say that lately. Like every time you say it, I'm like, no, that's like a great source. And I had to think about the fact that the first time that I went to either of those candidates' website was this week in response to an article that I read talking about the UX of their websites.
Yeah, and we will be discussing that article a little bit later too.
So as I'm saying, no, you sir are wrong. I have not gone to their websites.
And I guess like they wouldn't put time and effort into it if people didn't go there.
Right.
But I feel like if you were to talk about the average person, especially for the candidate that they aren't in support of, what have they seen the most of? It's probably picket signs and what have you, bumper stickers. What? Have you bumper stickers? That didn't make sense. So I'm pulling up Hillary Clinton's website. And every time I do that, I am reminded that her name has an H and two L's, like another word.
Two hockey sticks, one would say.
One would say that. Which, I mean, what do you need two hockey sticks for? All right, so the basic idea here is Joe and I are going to take a look at this website. I haven't spent a lot of time on the website, so my opinion is going to be largely fresh. Whereas Joe's opinion is going to be stale.
Yeah, super duper stale. So I went to trump.com, which is not his political website. Oh, it's dear. The Trump Organization, and everything there is so classy.
So right off the bat, I...
Trump black card.
Right off the bat, both of these websites that I visited immediately asked me to donate.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah,
and not just in like
a... blocked you from doing anything else before they could ask you to donate.
Exactly.
You had to say no before you could see the site.
So we could talk about whether this is a UX fail or not. If their main purpose for this website is not voters, you know, not to get people to vote for them, but really just to generate income, then they're doing a pretty swell job, wouldn't you say, Joe?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's definitely income generation. One thing that was brought up that I thought was actually a really good point is the very top of Trump's site is Be a Voter. It links you right to a voter registration thing, which I thought was pretty cool. And it wasn't necessarily just... I like that it said Be a Voter and it didn't have specifically a message to it beyond Be a Voter.
Right.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Takes you to vote.gop.com.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you who they want you to vote for. Let's not be unclear. But the messaging on his site is
right,
just
right,
be
right.
a voter.
Yeah. And Yeah, on well, if you and if you go to Hillary Clinton's website, one of the first things you see is how to register dead people to vote as them too. So
yeah, it's a link to Acorn.
Kidding. See, we're not 501c3.
Yeah, we can lie.
I didn't say we're politicians.
Yeah, and to be, I think probably just to throw this out here, I don't think either of us are big fans of either of these candidates, right?
Just yes. Personally.
So just, we'll just leave that out there.
I had a hesitation saying yes because it felt like a fantastic understatement, but it is still technically true that yes, I'm not a big fan of either of the candidates.
Yeah.
So anyway, looking at fonts here, let's see what we got. You guys, Inspect Element, if you haven't learned about Inspect Element, whether you're a web designer or not, Google what is Inspect Element and prepare to have your life changed. Well, there's a lot of graphics here that are not images, so that's a problem. Sharp Unity. There we go. On Hillary Clinton's website, we've got Sharp Unity.
What's that mean?
That's the name of the font.
Ah, okay.
Haven't heard of it before.
Yeah, neither would I.
And then...
I thought you were like talking about just there is some Sharp Unity on this website, which technically that's true. Now we know for sure because he inspected the fonts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, lots of serifs. Yeah. It feels like... And I think that on...
Hillary's sans serif.
All sans serif.
And then Trump has sans serif for the headers, but... all of the little articles are serif fonts. Kind of interesting.
And as I look at it, like as I look at Hillary Clinton's website, it feels very much like almost like The Verge or just like targeted toward like millennials and younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look at Trump's website, it's really got this very business, like enterprise, like these all caps serif headings. It just feels stately. It feels like a... it feels like a Cadillac.
It does have... you know, honestly, I have to say, when I look at these two sites, the two things that I see are Trump's site. They both are very... They're actually kind of similar. Some people might disagree with me on that. But they're similar in their kind of top-level thing. I think the scroll thing that Hillary's site has at the very top that compares the making of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, which I think is interesting. I think the scroll is way too fast and it feels almost like a flashing, you know, dancing bear or something. It's a distracting thing. I
didn't get dancing bear, but I'm with you.
I think if they slowed it down a little bit, it would, so you could kind of pause and think about these and then also have them switch maybe at the same time. So you can see, I don't know. I think I just find it really,
I feel like they're trying to create dissonance, maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're trying to create definitely a distinction between her and Trump, for sure. But I think the flashing of the site is a little awkward. So, and then for those watching the video, I'm going to put links to the to both of their sites here so you can know exactly what we're looking at.
Yeah. But really, overall, I feel like Hillary Clinton's website feels fun and Donald Trump's website feels professional. Not to say that Hillary's doesn't look professional, it doesn't look like it was thrown together by a 2-year-old, but it just has much more of a fun vibe to it. And this is interesting too, because if I were to look at these two and think, you know, which one's going to appeal to millennials, I would probably say Hillary Clinton's. And ironically, I think that where Trump is doing the worst is with millennials. Most of the people that I know who are voting for him are over 35.
Yeah. And I think actually once you click through, this is something again, I think we'll probably just more link back to that other article rather than spend a whole lot of time discussing it because I'm bringing up some of the points they brought up. But once you click through into, if you go back to the homepage, click through to like, Michelle Obama just said what every woman in America is thinking right now. Okay, so you click on through to that thing.
Look, another pop-up ad.
Pop-up, and it's a pop-up that has this kind of pithy phrase, and you just have to either click it or say I agree, like X out of it or say I agree.
I didn't actually read it, I just closed it.
Yeah, I noticed. So I've got a big image at the top. You got, hey, get your bumper stickers here. You've got big kind of bullet points with a little bit of text under them and some video to support what they're talking about.
This type is really poorly set. The yeah. line height's too low and the line width is too wide.
Yeah, it's not great.
And it's serif.
Yeah.
But it feels very BuzzFeed-y, doesn't it?
It does. It really does, yeah. And it's kind of got the little almost like GIFs going on here. But they are probably, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
No, they're little guys, little GIFies. They're little HTML5 doohickeys. Also, Trump's site doesn't... Okay, here's some news.
So his stuff, when you click through his stuff, it's just long-form articles. And it has archive. It's very blog feeling. It does not have much in the way of video that kind of backs up the article. So I kind of thought they handled that on Hillary's side well for the nation we live in of short attention spans, like to bang, bang, bang through the thing.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, and this, again, like if I were to compare, the one feels more like BuzzFeed and the other feels like, so Hillary Clinton's website feels more like BuzzFeed and Trump's website feels more like maybe the Huffington Post.
Yeah, or New York Times.
Yeah. So anyway, that's interesting to me. I want to go to the shopping pages here and look at their, specifically the stuff that you would see driving by.
Right, the bumper stickers and stuff like that, right.
Also, the shop page, this feels like IKEA for Hillary Clinton's website.
Oh my goodness, it totally does.
Like I thought I had accidentally clicked through to IKEA. Know, oh, and look,
I have
glasses.
To tell you, when you clicked over to this page first, I seriously thought, oh, you've jumped to some other, like you're at some actual shopping site like Overstock.com, but for Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we've got, these t-shirts are very, they feel different from your typical political candidate t-shirts. You've got a distressed logo t-shirt and this logo is, it's distressed like me. These feel more like graphic tees and not like political, what's the word I'm looking for? Propaganda. They feel more like graphic tees and less like propaganda. Although, if you keep going, you do see the Clinton Kane organizer kit. And another point on these is that the Hillary Clinton's campaign has a little mark. It's an H with an arrow in it, which is interesting. I guess the arrow is pointing forward.
Sorry. I was looking over at the Donald Trump shop. We have to look at that too. It's pretty great.
Yeah, there's some
I
am a deplorable.
I am a deplorable, yeah. No, I think if you go to Make America Great Again PAX here, so the I am a deplorable sticker is pretty funny. I don't see like it doesn't seem to be particularly easy to get the like if you're wanting there you go. There's signs and stickers. Okay, so there's those. You can actually get them, but it's like
yeah. Well, this hat, this red cap feels like something you would see Donald Trump wearing.
It is. I'm sure he takes one of those bad boys out of the box and puts that on.
And I can see truckers wearing these.
Yeah.
It's
well,
it's,
what's funny, now go back to just the root there. Okay. So then go to Make America Great Again PAX. Shop now.
All right.
Okay. And then look at the buttons. One of them is hashtag huge with a Y. I love it.
I don't understand.
Because it's like something that they totally like kind of mock him on. And he's just like, all right, cool. Yeah. Let's make a button about that.
Well, yeah. And like deplorable. That's another one of those. I mean, but that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a very, it's really, really interesting how as you look at these, and I wouldn't, like until we did this, I wouldn't have really noticed this, but it's very interesting. You can tell that they're shooting for very different demographics.
Yes, very much.
Kind of like they've acknowledged, like Hillary Clinton is not going to get the 50-year-old trucker who wears baseball caps market. So they're not even trying. They're just trying to appeal as much as they can to the demographic of hippies. And then Trump is again the opposite. Like there's nothing here that I could see a hipster wearing ever at all. I mean, they have hipsters in the shots in the sample shots. Actually, they really a little bit. Okay,
I am a deplorable.
There he is.
You're getting a couple things that are edging on the edge of getting there, but yeah.
So no, I mean it's very interesting. The This wants to communicate an old guard, like not old guard. What's the word I'm looking for? Like Old Spice. Like their marketing model is Old Spice. Like, your dad wore this deodorant, you can trust it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which works in some cases. Like, I don't know what deodorant I use. Do I use deodorant?
I use New Joe. Spice. No, sir, you do not.
And then over here on Hillary's website, it's different.
So bright, lots of yellows and the blue. She's using blues, but her blues are very bright.
Yeah.
And the yellow contrast, kind of a almost a burnt umber yellow.
It really feels like walking into
it's
IKEA.
It's really IKEA-ish. It's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you've got this little stitch by stitch
throw pillow. It says a woman's place is in the White House. That's pretty great.
All right. So,
like we said, we're not focusing on the websites.
Well, we're just looking at the content they have. Let's say that you walked into somebody's home and you saw that pillow there. That would influence you, Joe. You'd be thinking, well, then we should put a woman in the White House.
That's right.
That's how that works. 17 by 17 inch. That's a sizable pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a throw pillow. I guess that makes sense. All right. So, homeware. I just want
to
check.
Doesn't appear to be able to be sized, to be honest.
That's interesting. There is no homeware on Donald Trump's website, or at least it's not advertised.
Look at gifts.
Gifts.
Go back. Gifts. Yeah, not gifts.
You can
there we go. There's
got
the homeware.
A couple mugs.
Mugs.
Thermoses. For truck drivers.
And the beer cozy for your truck driving.
Classic. But no, here you've got wine glasses and
red, white, and brew. Coffee cup. She's also got the beer cozy. So
yeah, pint glass.
Chillery Clinton on the beer cozy.
All right, I'm closing these tabs now.
No, you must not. We will keep talking about them for.
No. Okay. We now have to make our decision.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So who are you going to vote for, Joe? Based solely, ignore policy, ignore dying babies, ignore it all.
Oh man, see, that's the thing, is I can't ignore the dying babies thing. But yeah. For the
purposes of
microcosm in which we live, during the duration of this podcast, I would go for Hillary. I'd have to vote Hillary because of I think the design's better.
Yeah,
I think they've done a better job.
There are a lot of things about Trump's website that I like. Well, there are a lot of things about Hillary Clinton's website that I don't like because they represent a lot of modern design trends that have always irked me in terms of usability.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I get a much more positive vibe from her website than I
definitely.
Get from Trump's.
Definitely. Yes, it's significantly different.
I do feel like Trump's website is more intellectual. Which is funny because I don't feel like he, as a person... is more intellectual. But if I ignored the debates and went only with the websites and the all that jazz.
Well, the website kind of respects that you're going to sit down and actually read a full page article.
Right. And probably copy and paste it to your Facebook status.
Yeah. Twice.
So yeah, I think I'm with you. I would probably get, especially if we're just going off of driving down the road, seeing bumper stickers and the little picket signs.
Yeah,
I'd have to vote for Hillary. So you've won this round,
my fine feathered friend. Oh wait, that's what you say to the penguin if you're Batman.
Does he have? Yeah, I guess. Okay, that is. Yeah,
that's how he rolls.
So once again, we want to reiterate that we do not endorse either of these candidates, right, Joe?
Correct.
And that I can say I'm not planning on voting for either of them at all ever. Even if you point a gun to my head.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Point a gun to my head, it's my vote doesn't count that much. I got kids. sure, I'll shill for one of them.
Wait, hold on. Are they threatening to shoot me? Because that changes. No, just kidding.
They're pointing a gun, but it's the handle. So I think I'm okay still.
Is it loaded? Hold on, let's talk. Anyway, yeah, so one of the things we did notice on both of those websites was a lot of blue. I wanted to talk about the use of blue in politics.
Tons of blue.
Everywhere. And this is familiar. Like, if you think back on past campaigns, you basically get red and blue. And it seems like the Republicans tend to use red and blue somewhat evenly.
And something... Well, we can go with this, too. But
go ahead.
Is this in the order? I guess it is in the order of what you talked about here. The blue? is that? Because we talked about the logo. We mentioned the logo.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting to talk about that. The fact that she has one and he does not.
Yeah. Yeah, but when I think about past campaigns, I don't remember logos. You pointed out that Obama has one or had one?
Absolutely. Yeah, look up Obama logo.
It's, Obama logo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap. Yes, I've seen that.
I just snapped.
And then the other thing, a real classic image that was used tons by the Obama campaign is Obama Hope. So if you look up Obama and Hope together, you'll find a very, very classic image.
Right.
Hope poster. And that was done by, I think, an artist in New York City is the one who originally did that.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that I was watching Every Frame of Painting, and they talked about the how, if you think about Star Wars, you think about James Bond, you think about a lot of these movies, music comes to mind, and you mm-hmm. can, like, people can sing the Star Wars music.
Right.
I feel like I've never had a, like, an embedded image, and this is just in my lifetime, I'm not saying this universally across the board, but I've never had an image embedded from a politician. Like, when I think of a politician, when I think of Obama, I think of this Hope thing.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yep.
And so that's actually a really good design. Like, they've managed to associate those things. And then, of course, you've got all the classic memes. I'm looking at one here that says fail.
Yeah. The other one right up above there is Hope you don't get indefinitely detained. my favorite one on those, the favorite riff on that was the Nope, where someone said Hope and then they changed it to Nope.
Yes.
That was classic. Anyway, there's tons and tons of memes on that. And if you just look at this up and then look for parody, you'll find a few things.
So I guess I wonder if there's a Pope one. There should be a Pope.
There is a Pope one. Yes, yeah. Pope. Absolutely.
So where I was going with that is, I don't feel like the Clinton logo, the Hillary Clinton logo, has the like the stickability in terms of, or the what's the word I'm looking for, Joe?
It doesn't have the mind share. I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't
the mind share.
I don't think it really just digs in like that. The first few times I saw it, I was honestly, it didn't. I was kind of like, it just didn't really register with me, like, oh, that's her? Like, that's her logo? It didn't, like, the first time I saw the Obama thing, it, like, even the circle with the, kind of the, he did, you know, his big initial thing, especially in 2008, was coming in with, you know, hope and a new dawn in America, which is really kind of funny, because you think about how that's just something that's been very strongly embraced by the population, and Trump really kind of tried to parrot that. He tried to say, make America great again. I mean, that's like his big thing, is make America great again. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? It needs great again. It's great already. But that's something that Obama very strongly had a very similar message.
Yeah.
As far as just like, we're talking a philosophical, try to get to the gut sort of message, not we're not talking about policy on a granular level, because obviously they would differ vastly.
Right. Without getting too far into this, it seems like Make America Great Again involves a return to the way that America was, whereas Hope doesn't necessarily involve that. And I think that if you're a progressivist, you're not thinking Make America Great Again, you're thinking Make America Greater or Make America Great Period. Like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that might be part of it, is that that beckoning to the past with the word again there, or not beckoning, you know what I mean?
Yes.
All right, so yeah, the mark for Hillary Clinton's campaign doesn't seem to, it doesn't resonate with me. I had to think about, well, why is there an arrow in the H? And I feel like I'm making up my interpretation of it being pointing forward. So all right, we've covered that. I did want to talk a little bit about the blue. My theory about the blue, I mean, first of all, everybody will acknowledge that there are certain colors that are positive. Green, blue are two of the main ones that you think of when you think of happy colors, right? And, you know, you've got red, white, and blue. Those are your basic options if you want to seem patriotic. And it is interesting, though, that the Republican campaign seems to have always made more use of red. Not exclusively. It's always been like more as an accent color. Whereas the Democrats always feel more blue. Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
That's an impression I've had.
And they refer to Republican states as red states and Democrat states as blue states.
Right, and I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah. So I think that's true. I'm not 100% sure.
But if you're thinking of running for president, I think you should try green.
And
give
it
a shot.
We're talking to you, Andrew.
Not green and red. Oh, what would the, we got a live question here. What would the pantsuit of fonts be? I'd have to go with Times New Roman. I really would.
Times New Roman, huh?
Yeah, when you think about, like, I mean, it's not particularly effeminate, but it's that like business look.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, if it was like a new, like, hip, trendy pantsuit, it would, of course, be Calibri.
Yeah, well, obviously.
New trendy pantsuit. That should be the title of our episode.
New trendy pantsuit. You shouldn't have said that out loud. Now we can't use it.
Yeah, I know. It kind of looks like a zoot suit, you know?
No, that's not at all the same thing.
Well, I know, but it's new and it's trendy.
It's not.
All right. Well, I'm trying to make America great again. We're going back to the zoot suit.
All right, then.
All right. So my last question here, one of my last questions here, Joe, is, well, we were judging the campaign based off of picket signs. And, follow-up question here. What about the comb-over of fonts?
Oh, the comb-over of fonts. That's going to be San Francisco.
Really?
No. That's the new iOS font, and I just thought, ding! Shots fired.
I wanted to know your reasons, you know. I'd have to say Arial, though. Because it's trying to be something it's not.
Are you talking about Little Mermaid?
Stares into camera like Jim from The Office.
That's right. Stares into camera like Kevin from The Office.
No, because like you think about Arial, it's like a poor man's Helvetica, and people use it in place of Helvetica all the time, but it's really not good. It was built for VGA displays. And by VGA displays, I mean 640 by 480, 256 color. And it doesn't really...
We have a strong vote for Wingdings, and I'm going to have to go with Aaron on that one.
Well, he just says that's the best font.
Yes.
So he hit his head earlier today.
It's going to be huge. You know what you could do is just retype set both of these websites in Wingdings.
That would feel too much like the debate.
Oh, my heavens.
All right. So we were talking about before the chat room interrupted us. Good job, chat room. I appreciate it. I really do. Oh, another good font. Hacked.font. Joe, you want to click on that?
Pantsuit. Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Pantsuit.
Because I'm not the one hosting this video. So
all right. I can't click on it on my iPhone because the feed will stop.
All right.
We'll look at that in a second. Anyway, I wanted to ask, because we, in order to evaluate the design of these, we really had to essentially ignore what we knew about the candidates. And I was just thinking, like, when we talk about bumper stickers and picket signs, like, who do they convince? Are those useful? Are they just trying to get mind share? It makes sense to me that if you're a local candidate, the picket signs would be really important because at least you're getting your name out there, and if people want to look into you, they can. But I feel like pretty much everybody knows basically where the two presidential candidates stand. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that nobody's mind can be changed and there are swing voters, but like a picket sign's going to change your mind? Or like let's add them up. Let's say you see 300 picket signs during the course of an election because you live in the middle of nowhere. Let's say you see 3,000 picket signs during the course of an election.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's going to have an effect?
Yeah, I think it does. And here's the deal. The reason that they do it, candidates wouldn't put those out there if they didn't have an effect. That's the fact of the matter. They just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't, they'd find other ways to spend their money.
Mm.
And they spend a lot of money on those. So just the fact that if you follow the money, they spend a ton of money on those. They give them out at cost or less than cost sometimes. To get people to put them in the yard. And part of that is just to get kind of mind share amongst a community. Hey, gosh, all my neighbors are pro Hillary. I don't want to be the guy that says, I voted for Trump. I don't want to be that guy. All my neighbors have these Hillary signs out. my vote doesn't really matter anyway. She's totally going to win anyhow. I'm just going to vote for her or whatever, whichever. I mean, this is not a, again, this is not a vote for a particular candidate. It's talking about the philosophy there.
And there's also, like, I wonder if the stronger effect even too is, let's say that you were a swing voter. You decided to vote for one party or the other. And then you go and you put the picket sign in your lawn. Mm-hmm. And new information comes up that might have changed your mind before, but darn it, you have the picket sign now.
Yeah, you've already kind of cast your vote amongst your community in one sense.
Yeah.
It, something that was interesting to me, too, is we were traveling this week. We were this last, well, no, it's been 2 weeks. We were, my wife and I and our kids were traveling on the west coast of Washington over in that area. And I was shocked, actually. The Seattle Bremer, Seattle Bellingham area, lots and lots and lots of Hillary stuff. But I was really surprised once you get a little south how much Trump stuff I saw. I saw tons and tons and tons of signs for Trump.
Were they huge?
They were huge, some of them. And it I was really surprised by that and by, you know, by that amount of support that you're seeing there. And it just gives you a sense of how many people in your area like one candidate versus how many people in your area like another candidate. And I think it does have a powerful kind of a herd mentality type effect on groups of people.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I hadn't considered the not just them being in mass, like let's say you say you see the 3,000 of them, but let's say that 400 of those are in your neighborhood. Right.
Right.
That's a big deal. Yeah. It's a good point.
And the other thing then with less known races, the local races rather than national races, that's just getting it so people know your name.
Right, exactly.
When they come to a ballot and they look at a ballot and go, oh yeah, I've heard of that guy. And a lot of my neighbors seem to think he's a pretty good guy. I'll vote for him or I'll vote for her, you know.
Right. No, yeah, that makes sense. And I do, like, when you think about, well, I know Apple does this. Most PC parts manufacturers do this. They give you stickers when you buy their video card. And when you buy the iPhone, you get these Apple stickers. And I do wonder, again, if there also isn't that point. I imagine there is that point of brand loyalty almost.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the bumper sticker, you've got the t-shirt, whatever it is. Like, are you really going to change your vote now? Even though it turns out that your candidate is a sexual predator? I mean, you've got the t-shirt.
Right.
All right, so last point. You brought up this article, Joe.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring it around kind of a more of a philosophical discussion. We talked about it a little bit, but...
Yeah, and we'll link to the article in the show notes. I don't know that I have it handy here.
The first thing that they brought up was how in a past election, there was I think it was the first televised debate. And they polled people who had watched the televised debate, and they polled people who watched the radio debate.
That was JFK versus Richard Nixon in 1960.
And the people who saw, like the votes, or not the votes, but the impressions that people had of who won the debate among people who had seen the television and among people who had seen the radio. Well, here's a quote. What happened after the two, this is from the article, quoting Time Magazine, I think. What happened after the two candidates took the stage is a familiar tale. Nixon, pale and underweight from a recent hospitalization, appeared sickly and sweaty, while Kennedy appeared calm and confident. As the story goes, those who listened to the debate on the radio thought Nixon had won, and those that watched the debate on TV thought that Kennedy was the clear winner. Many say Kennedy won the election that night.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fascinating, and it kind of gets to, we've talked before about how presentation is extremely important, and we've talked about how that relates specifically to Christian literature, but it applies all over the place.
Yeah, that's we've done a podcast where we talked about good theology books with bad covers and bad theology books with good covers, and how people are buying, you know, doing proverbially judging a book by its cover. So that would be something to kind of go back to for the philosophy of that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking for that episode. And let me just say that our titles are useless, but the episode title is The Whole Website Looks Like a Toaster, or Is Like a Toaster.
Yeah, episode 19.
Episode 19. So.
Highly recommended by us. If you don't believe us, just ask us. And I put a link for the blog in the Facebook feed, the InVision.
So if you're watching
app
now,
blog,
you can see that.
You can see that, or you can see it if you're watching this at a later time. And we'll put it in with our show notes as well.
So what they did on this article was they went through the two main candidates' websites and talked about the user experience. So they weren't so much going after the design like we were, the aesthetic element, as they were the user experience, like how to find things and the story that they're telling and all of that. So if you want more of what we just did done better, you can check that article out.
Yeah, they've got some real nice examples and real clear kind of discussion of some of the differences between the two. They didn't get into it all like the merch like we did, so I think that was a very different thing to look at.
Yeah.
So I think you started to say this, and I think I'm getting...
Oh, go ahead.
But you were talking about how... what do you do as a... Well, we get into these discussions sometimes, but what do you do as a designer who... let's say you signed on as a designer for a particular campaign, and the person that you're working for, new revelations keep coming out about them. Funny thing about our presidential candidate is it could be either one.
Yeah.
It's happening for both of them that make you leave a sour taste in your mouth, and you don't want to... You know, what do you do at that point? Do you continue designing for that person? Do you try to make designs that will help take that person down?
Do you sabotage his campaign? Oh, Joe, how had I not considered this?
See?
How do you sabotage two campaigns, though?
Yeah. Actually, my very favorite bumper sticker that I've seen so far for the campaign is... let me find it real quick. It's done in the exact same style as a Bernie Sanders, but it says, "Giant Meteor 2016 just ended already." So it looks just like a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker, but it's Giant Meteor instead, and it's fantastic.
Maybe this is what happened to the dinosaurs.
Exactly. They're like, okay, wait, this is the best we can do? Bring in the meteor, boys.
The T-Rex has such tiny hands. Anyway... all right, so yeah, I mean, that's a valid question. I think that's a topic that we've talked about before, where what if you as a designer, you're working on a thing. I think it's the something about a widget. Remember that episode, Joe? It was like episode 2 or 3. I'm looking for it in our show notes.
Yeah, it's
a bad widget, episode 2. We talked about
widgets.
The effects of design to convince people to buy or do things. And what do you do if you're working for a company where they're trying to sell, say, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and it explodes? Do you still make ads for the Samsung Galaxy Note 7?
And now half as explosive.
Now 50% as explosive. Well, you certainly do help to design the packaging for the return box. So anyway, yeah, that's a very valid question. We addressed it there. I think really the conclusion we both came to is, you know, love for neighbor really demands that you don't create... We've talked about this before. Design is almost a form of manipulation. It's trying to get people to do things by influencing them either emotionally or intellectually. And you shouldn't try to influence people emotionally or intellectually to do things that you know are bad.
Yes, agreed.
And understandably, it's much more complicated than that. I don't want to pretend that like it's just that easy. You just quit your job, especially if you have kids and what have you. But nobody can deny, however, that trying to influence somebody to do something that is bad is wrong. I mean, you can argue that. People do, I'm sure.
Yes.
But they're stupid.
Yes, they sure are. Not brilliant like us. Hi, Mom.
I feel like we're getting off track here. But yeah, I mean, I would say if you find out that the candidate you're trying to create designs for has violated God's laws in ways that you don't think a person running for president or running for whatever office really should be violating God's laws, then you should find another job. Oftentimes, these positions are volunteer anyway. Maybe not as at a design level, but yeah.
Sorry.
Joe's just looking at bumper stickers this whole time.
The I'm with it. bumper sticker instead of I'm with her. And it's for giant meteor. Come on. Oh, crikey. Anyway, sorry.
So what you can do then is take all your political design skills, quit your job, and make these things, parody bumper stickers.
Definitely.
Which is probably more money in anyway.
Oh, yeah. These suckers are selling for $7 to $10 a pop. Pop. If only we had a pop filter.
So, no, but the thing I wanted to get at is, as Christians, we should recognize, I think, that these things have an effect on us.
Right.
And not just as Christians, but like as thinking human beings, we should recognize that we are prone to go for the shiny thing. We're prone to, like I said, Hillary's campaign materials give me a much more positive vibe. But when you think about her as a person,
yeah, or the
neither of them give me a positive vibe.
Oh, man. Yeah. The things that are being espoused by both of them are just, anyway, fairly terrifying.
There is a politics there's a politics channel on the Slack that we mentioned earlier. And if you want to talk about politics, you can go there. We'll be there. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think that is... Joe, is that something that you actively think about? Like, do you ever catch yourself, like, whether it's a candidate or whether it's a thing that you're going to buy, thinking, this thing looks really nice, I'm going to buy it, and then catch yourself and go, wait, let me look at the Amazon reviews, or let me gather data that is not just, this thing is shiny.
Yes, absolutely. No, I do that all the time. And you even find yourself, it's interesting to be, you know, it's interesting when you're in the right or wrong crowd, even with stuff like this presidential election, where it's like, I know around certain people, certain views will be accepted and certain views would be, how dare you think that? And I have friends that are on both sides of, I mean, like friends that are supportive of both sides of this election, like very positive about both sides. I mean, not the same friend being positive on both sides. Okay. So there's like groups of friends, like here's this group of friends and they're all going to be for Hillary, and here's this group of friends and they're all going to be for Trump, and here's this group of friends in the middle. And it's fascinating. I could go on for hours about it. But it's interesting to think about, are you brave enough to be honest amongst those groups of friends or family?
I saw
a
Facebook post that said, I figured out my problem of having to buy too many Christmas presents. I just talked about politics on Facebook.
Boom. Problem solved.
Bam.
Anyway.
This is a relatively short episode, and we're both a little bit scatterbrained because we're recording this in the middle of the day during our lunch break. And therefore, it's also going to be a relatively shorter episode. But I want to reiterate maybe just the importance of thinking that through, because we are told not to look just on outward appearances, but to judge with right judgment. I should just look that up. It's Jesus talking to the Pharisees, I believe. So the Pharisees are judging Christ, essentially, in this passage. And he responds by saying, judge not according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And obviously we can't see inside the hearts of the candidates or of the people maybe it's not candidates, maybe it's the CEO of the company we're considering supporting or whatever. We can't see inside their hearts, but we can see their works. And one of the things the Pharisees were doing was they were not taking into consideration Christ's works. And actually in the book of John, Jesus tells them repeatedly to look at the works I'm doing. Look at the things I'm doing. Look at, you know, can anybody bring a charge against me? And nobody could, because Jesus was perfect. Anyway, all of that to say, I think that the principle there, when it comes to judging people, is that we shouldn't just let the outward appearance affect us, and that probably goes for picket signs as well.
Pardon me.
Do you think that goes for picket signs as well?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that's
so true. The point we're trying to make is that thing we did earlier where we judged them based only on picket signs.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Dangerous stuff.
Who would do that?
Yeah. So please don't. So what we would encourage you to do is get out there, actually do some research, figure out who you want to vote for, and vote.
Or
unless
don't vote.
Philosophically you have figured it out, looked at it, and decided you can't vote for any of the candidates that are on your ballot. That's fine too.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that this shouldn't be a decision that you take lightly. You know, who you vote for or whether you vote is something that you shouldn't judge just based off the bumper stickers. This has been another brilliant episode of Helvetic, brought to you by
us
and
no one else,
not anybody else. I was thinking, who do I want to blame for this? All right.
Brought to you by the Libertarian Party.
Thank you. Thank you guys for listening. Joe, do you have any recommendations?
I don't. I don't have one already this week. Sorry.
I have I think I have an app. I would recommend an app, but it's on my phone and my phone is currently recording us.
Oh yeah.
Oh, what was that game that you were talking about, Joe?
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. I don't know how I came across it. I think it was a recommendation from 9to5 Toys was just kind of a sale of, you know, games that are on sale right now. And there was a game on sale called Lumino City, which if you put those words together, it's a luminosity, right? Anyway, Lumino City is this game that was put out. It's on sale, depending on when you're watching this, it was on sale for $1.99 instead of $4.99. And the really cool thing about this game is the entire game, so you're playing a video game where you have a character that you can move and manipulate, but the entire game was actually created with cut out bits of paper and cardboard, and they actually built sets, photographed the sets, then photographed the character moving back and forth through the set so that they have that for every movement that you could do in the game. And everything is actually little photographic images that you're looking through as you're playing the game. It's pretty amazing. It's a really fresh look on a game. So that's a look I've never seen before on a video game. And I would really recommend checking it out. I think it's really a neat design. And even if you don't love the design, I think it's just so different and interesting. And if the game is not on sale and you don't want to spend $5 on the game, they have a free making of app where you can see all the stuff about the design and how they did it, how they built it, the effort that went into making it. It's pretty cool. Some behind the scenes photos. So you can actually see, here's the view you see in the app. And now here's a pullback from that view where you can see them taking photographs of the sets in one of the creator's mother's kitchen where they'd set it up. They said, you know, if you could pull back a little bit further, you'd see these great 1980s curtains. And they have a picture pulled back and seeing that there is actually a physical set there that they were taking pictures of. It was really cool. I think it was a really neat idea. So I'd recommend that. Lumino City.
Yeah, Joe got me to buy that. I haven't played it yet, but I'm excited to give it a shot.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right, we'll just go run with Joe's recommendation.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And if you would like to check out other episodes, make sure to go check out Helvetic, the podcast that is the best, .com/.net/.gov.
I am not buying that domain.
Dang it. Just trying to get him to buy more domains.
Not something that we need.
Anyway, go ahead and check out our podcast at helveticpodcast.com, right? Is that right?
Yep, yep, yep.
And you can also look for the Helvetic design group on Facebook, and we can add you to the group, and get some pretty interesting discussion, some kind of back and forth, and even some critiques of designs where people are like, hey, I've got this design and what are you guys' feedback on it? And sometimes David and I will give feedback and sometimes other members of the community will, and it's pretty fun. So
yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, and I guess that's it. So,
and if you review us on iTunes, don't review us based on this episode only. Go back and listen to some of our better episodes.
Yeah, listen to a good episode as well.
This idea sounded so good.
It was
until we tried to do it.
Until I had to say I'm voting for Hillary. That was weird.
When did that...
It did when we asked who we were voting for based just on design. It was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now you've got that on tape.
Yeah.
Except we don't use tapes.
Yeah.
Are you using tapes in your Mac?
Thanks for listening, everyone.
How many cores does your Mac have?
And now for a legal disclaimer.
David and I both work for Olive Tree, a division of HarperCollins Christian Publishers. We produce these podcasts for ourselves, not for our company, and the opinions we express in this podcast are our own opinions and not necessarily those of Olive Tree.